on this 21st of December 2018 in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on this Friday night, the beginning of the last weekend that you're going to get out there and throw your money away and buy gifts and give it to the people that you say you love. You are going to spend needed money that you require in your budget on foolishness. You're falling right into the trap of the system that has poisoned you. I know I'm right about it. Me? Listen, I'm going to play a clip for you, and I want you to bear with me, because some of you are not going to like this clip. Now, it may be a clip that you think the man is called of God to be a pastor. Well, I doubt that. I doubt that altogether. I don't know who the man is. I don't know where he comes from. But I do know one thing. What he is saying, doesn't make any. That's right. You need to listen to some classical music, because you need to listen to something beautiful. Listen to this man play this piano a little bit. Then I'll be right back. Listen to him play. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this man's verbiage to you while the music plays. And I want you to see if it makes any sense to you in a spiritual connotation.
I'm sending my car, and I just needed to take this moment to pray for you. And I want you to send this to everybody who needs this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke the principalities of your life, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers, the darkness of this wicked age, the prince of the air. I command you to take your hands off God's people. I command you, I rebuke the devil off of this child and this son and daughter of God in the name of Jesus. And I command that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God, I pray that you give them a turnaround. I pray that you shift their life. I pray that the enemy, every suicide spirit, every spirit of disease and sickness, every spirit of mental anguish, every spirit of oppression, every unclean devil, I command you to take your hands off this person I'm praying for now. And by the blood of Jesus, they have been set free. So God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the victory. And I thank you for what you're getting ready to do in their life. In the name of Jesus, and no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against them shall go down in judgment, in Jesus' name. Listen, send this to everybody. Let it go viral. I want to pray, as soon as they put play, it's going to break the devil off their life, and the blood of Jesus is against every devil, and we're going to see a turnaround in your life. Yes, you that are watching this, a turnaround right now. Listen, like it and share it, and send it to everybody you know.
Now, I want to let you know that I wouldn't send that to anybody. I'm putting it up on this website because I'm an independent mind with good reason to do so. I'm going to play it again. But absolutely everything this young black man said is a lie. And he perpetrated it in his depraved mind and heart. Because he can't make any of those things that he just said come to pass. He can't do anything. And if that man did have the power to do something like that, you know where he needs to be? He needs to be down at the county morgue. He needs to be down there every time they bring a dead body in. He needs to be where people are dying. in the streets after they just drop of heart attacks, high blood pressure. He needs to pray that prayer. And so everybody that can't pay their rent this month or this week will have some money. He's lying. The man that sent it to me, I just wrote back and I said, he's lying. As a matter of fact, let me tell you what I wrote. I said, he can't do any of that. Sorry, I know better. I happen to be very satisfied with my life where I have pain, money or no money. I am happy with my location, with my mind and my spiritual necessities that God gives us. I don't need that prayer. I never did need a prayer like that because he can't do any of that for himself, let alone for anyone else. And then I thank my friend and I appreciated his time and I just laughed him down. Ha, 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 ha. Now we're going to go back and we're going to listen to this thing and we're going to analyze it and you will know exactly why I took that. My friend, when they lie to you, it sounds like it's for your embetterment. He can do nothing. You can do nothing. The only thing that you can do is to live life. Now, let me give you an example. If I should come down, and I don't believe in this, if I speak a word, it'll happen. That's word faith doctrine. That started with Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, Crenshaw Christian Center, and all these word faith buffoonery churches. That's what that is. Don't play with me. I know what true theology is. Now, we're going to listen to this young man. He's a black man. I'm looking at a picture of him. Somebody sent it to me on Messenger. And I told the gentleman that sent it to me, oh, you can send me anything you want, but I'm going to respond to it as I am. See, listen, you don't think I spent all that time and all that money in theology and then have one of these youngsters. See, he thinks he is a pastor. Now, let's listen to his words. Check this out.
I'm sending my card and I just needed to take this moment to pray for you. And I want you to send this to everybody who needs this prayer. Father, in Jesus.
Now, he's sitting in his car and he wants to pray for me. I don't know who he's talking to. And I don't know how he ever would think that he's thinking about me because he doesn't know me. And he's riding in a car. I don't think he's driving with his eyes closed. And if he is, but I doubt it. It looks like he's riding. So he starts to pray to the Father.
Jesus' name, I rebuke the principalities off your life, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers, the darkness of this wicked age.
He's rebuking the principalities of this life. Do you know what a principality is? A principality is an earthly kind of a situation that has total power over the effects of human life. This African-American male, I guess he calls himself a pastor, is rebuking it. Man, listen, when I came up as a young Christian, when I first heard this stuff, man, they started this trash, this garbage on TBN Channel 40. That's when Paul and Jan Crouch was alive. Now their boys are jumping on the bandwagon. But let's listen to the rest of this. Listen.
The prince of the air, I command you to...
He is talking about the prince of the air. He's talking about Satan. Now, if you're a Christian and you believe in those deities, we know who Satan is. And there is no human being on the earth that could ever withstand Satan. The only angelic, from my studies, I've never seen where a human being has rebuked Satan. The only thing that they can say is get behind me. But that don't mean that he's getting behind you. He's right in front of your face. But let's listen to the pastor. Listen.
Take your hands off God's people.
He just told the devil to take his hands off God's people. What? What people? The devil's hand ain't on me. The devil's hand can't be on me. As long as God's hand is on me, how can the devil's hand be on me? You know why? He's talking to people that don't belong to God. He's talking about people like himself.
I command you, I rebuke the devil off of this child.
He commands the devil, and then he rebukes the devil off of this child. He looks like a child that's emulating his pastor. I'm telling you, the church is going mad. Stark, raving mad. And you don't hear anybody saying that. Oh, well, now, you don't know. You need to stop judging. Baby, shut up and get in the back of the bus. I'm not listening to Tommy Rod foolishness. Only a dodo would believe what this guy is saying. Listen.
In this son and daughter of God, in the name of Jesus, and I command that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God, I pray.
He did it again. He incites the name of Jesus. All right. He incites the name of Jesus, and then he gets into this rebuking phase. Why would you or any of us believe him? That's not even the way that you approach a holy God. Now, all right, some of you sitting out there saying, how come you so mean? Well, because the Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And this verse is saying God may lift you up and he may not lift you up, but you don't come to him talking about what you demand and what you demand to happen. This is going to happen. I'm going to make it happen. And then it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He didn't tell you to command the devil to get out of people's life. This dude is out of his mind. I just thought that I'd quote a little scripture for you, because see, sometimes we lose our way.
Command that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God, I pray that you give them a turnaround. I pray that you shift their life. I pray that the enemy, every suicide spirit, every spirit of disease and sickness, every spirit of mental anguish.
This man is talking about all these spirits he is coming against. You know, we need this man in the city hall. We need this man in the Capitol building. We need this man on a television station praying this prayer. If it's that powerful, go on, bro. Keep praying.
Every spirit of oppression, every unclean devil, I command you to take your hands off this person I'm praying for.
Every unclean devil. Well, what about you? And look, I'm thinking about myself, because I'm not an unclean devil. No, what is an unclean devil? I need a definition on what an unclean devil is. Is there such a thing as a clean devil? Since you're going to talk this high theology, wait a minute, keep on talking, brother.
Now, and by the blood of Jesus, they have been.
He incited the blood of Jesus again. This is cultic. This is cultic. Why couldn't you say in the name of Jesus? Why the blood of Jesus? We're not Hebrews. Well, maybe he is a Hebrew, and maybe that's the way he does his religion. Listen.
And set free. So God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the victory, and I thank you for what you're getting ready.
In other words, I thank you for what you're getting ready to do. He says, God, I'm thanking you for the victory, and I'm claiming your son Jesus's name to make this come to pass. Now, what he's doing is he is planting in the minds of people that see this, that this is the way you pray. I remember when the earthquake hit Haiti, and I saw some of the films on YouTube. It's still on there. Some of them people was in the middle of the street while the ground was shaking, speaking in tongues and sounding like that. Talking about how you going to bind them plates 2 miles under the earth that's shifting? You're not stopping this stuff. Listen to this.
To do in their life in the name of Jesus, and no weapon formed against them shall prosper.
Why does he keep saying no weapon formed against them? Wait, if the landlord said if you don't pay the rent, he's going to put you in the street. Wait a minute, I got a pastor calling me right now. I'm going to ask him. Well, hello, pastor, how are you? James, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
What's up, man?
Oh, there he is. Well, James, you know, somebody send me.
What's up, man?
Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Coleman.
Yes, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Wait a minute. I got to get... Okay, here it is. Can you hear me, James? Okay, now can you hear me?
How you doing, buddy?
Okay, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine.
Man, how you feeling?
Very good. As a matter of fact, I had a nice dinner, and I'm doing great.
Good.
Yeah, I'm feeling better. Listen, I was in the middle of a work that I'm doing, and I'm not going to lie to you. You're a pastor, and... I'm doing a webcast because somebody sent me a clip of a young pastor in his car, and he was driving around and he was claiming victory in the lives of everybody that heard this thing. You know how they say send it to 100 people and all this. Well, everything that young pastor was saying, James, was a lie. And when my friend sent it to me, I told him, I don't believe that. I never believed that. I don't believe that a person, this man was talking about almost raising dead people. Would you just give me a word on that? Because, see, I don't think I'm crazy when I come against that kind of language. Would you add your 2 cents to it, please?
That comes just from non-theological nonsense.
Yes.
Really paganism more than anything else.
Yes.
It's paganism that we have allowed to creep into the church because of, first of all, our own misunderstanding of the place of the Old Testament.
Right.
And New Testament theology.
Yes.
In the life of the church. And it's just straight up witchcraft, straight up paganism. Matter of fact, much of the preaching that you see on television today that... It's called Christian. It's really nothing but pagan thought.
Right.
Wrapped up in Christian sounding language, but the root of it all is a man centered humanistic philosophy. Not even a theology. It puts man at the center of all that God is doing. And when people understand biblical theology, our salvation is a love story between the Father and the Son.
Yes, yes. And you know, that is the roots of humanism. What humanism would do would be to displace God and even to have you come close to the thought of thinking that you are as God. James, if you listen to my last webcast that I did, a friend of mine that lives in Tennessee asked me the question about us being gods. I think I answered it very well. This man is about maybe a little younger than myself, and he lives in Tennessee, and I have people coming to my website constantly asking me these questions because it appears that in our churches today, I don't know what happened to these young boys and these women that they're putting behind the pulpit, but this stuff that they're spewing out, these people are believing this.
Well, that's I think in order to understand the church today and the way to do ministry today is to really understand the times of the church today we're called to do ministry is.
Right.
You and I took the book of Matthew in seminary with one of the greatest Matthew scholars of our day, Michael Wilkins.
Oh yeah, Mike Wilkins, and he did that special.
And he had us really do a lot of study into the parables of the kingdom.
Yes.
And one of the central truths of the parables of the kingdom is toward the end of the age, the church age, the kingdom's influence will weaken.
My goodness. And that's what I'm telling people. It has weakened to the degree that people think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm telling them I have never heard of this before. But my problem is, what happened to the logic of black people? You know, black people, we had our own businesses. You remember before the Oklahoma riots, I think it was 1921 in Oklahoma City. Man, we ran hotels, had our own businesses, everything. And I was...
You know what it was? Well, racism, segregation, Jim Crow, it forced us toward one another. Forced us to each other.
Yes.
Now, we are preying on one another.
That's exactly what is taking place. Exactly what's taking place, and our children have no hope.
If you study, one of the purposes of Israel going into bondage in Egypt is those 400 years of slavery formed a nation. The 400 years of them being oppressed bonded them together.
And this is interesting because we've been about 175 years since slavery, and look at us. We are further separated than we have ever been in the history of African Americans in this country. We don't have political leaders. We don't have them, not in our communities. You wouldn't call them political leaders. I don't know what you would call them. And then, James, as a pastor of a church, and I know you'll be preaching Sunday, and this will be on the webcast for tonight, what are you going to tell your people when you stand before them on Sunday when you tell them that the budget hasn't been approved and certain things may be shut down? Because if you've been listening to the news, we're right there.
Yeah.
You
well,
see,
I'll say, first of all, for the believer, so what?
Right. I quoted James earlier in this webcast. I quoted 1 Peter 5:6-7. And I said, we don't demand from God. Peter starts off and says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand. You see, the church doesn't want to do that. America doesn't want to do that. And that's why we're going through it. If we were truly the nation that we claim that we are, we could have worked out a deal to help these people coming from these ravished countries where their people are being raped and starved and pillaged by criminals. But I understand America can't be the worldwide police force, but it's interesting to see what has happened to us. Go ahead.
You know, the whole idea of immigration, our country has never been opposed to immigration. What we are opposing is illegal immigration.
Right.
Let me give you a backdrop. One of my best friends is a white gentleman, white young man.
Okay.
His great grandfather came to the United States in 1926. He left Germany, and he couldn't get into America after World War. He left Germany in 1919. He couldn't get into America right away. He had to stay in Canada for 6 years until he was properly vetted.
Right.
Because we had just gotten out of World War with Germany.
Yes.
And he was a naval officer. So here is a white European who was not allowed into this country for 6 years until we properly vetted him to make sure that when he came here, he was going to work in the best interest of our country.
Yes.
Those are stories that you'll not get from ABC, NBC, CBS, or NBC News.
And those are stories.
A white German.
Right. And it makes sense.
Guess what? When they came to America, his father was so glad to be here. His grandfather, great grandfather, was so glad to be here that he would not allow them to speak German anymore.
Right.
They had to learn. He made them learn English. Well, back then, before you become a citizen, you had to learn English. But he was so committed to the values of America that he turned his back basically on his German culture.
Yes.
We have people coming from South America wanting to fly, still hold on to the Mexican flag, or to the Guatemalan flag, or the Nicaraguan flag, or the Costa Rican flag. Listen, if you come to America, there's one flag here, and that's the United States of America.
I thought I was the only black man that thought that way, James. I'm serious. Because whenever I talk that man, I just engender arguments from all over this community. And our political leaders are full of savage kind of behavior, man. They've become savage.
If African Americans were smart, they would understand that the political ideal behind allowing open borders is to replace black people as a political vote.
Absolutely. It places us further. And our political leaders are nothing but cronies pushing this idea. And since I live in one of these and you live in one of these, is your state a sanctuary state there in Ohio?
No.
Oh, okay. No, you guys
Ohio
are not.
Ohio is one of the last free states in America.
Man, I'm telling you, Gene.
People in California, and I'm from California now. Keep in mind, I was born and raised in California.
Yeah, I know.
I graduated from high school in California, graduated from grad school in California.
Right.
But I've been away since 1994. When I go back, I feel the oppression of that state.
Yes.
But most Californians, because they haven't lived outside of it long enough, they don't understand just how oppressive the state government is upon them. Very, very oppressive.
And what it does is it shackles a man, and so he's afraid to speak like a man. They have men afraid to back up what they should be backing up about the country that they live in. I have never been so embarrassed to speak with younger black men that speak against this nation. And I tell them, son, as a man that's been to a few countries in my life, I would invite you to investigate America a little bit closer, because, man, I mean, James, it is crazy. And our pastors, that's the main thing. Our pastors are supposed to be men like ourselves. Number one, educated. These young boys are not educated at all. They just come up with an idea and they just go off with it. And they have all these people hucksuckle because they tell them, I'm called of God, or I'm a preacher now. And it is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever seen in my life. And then to try to pull God into it to make it work, it is just getting worse and worse. But you're right. We are definitely upon the last times. And I just thought that I would be out of here. But living through these days, man, I have seen the church just turn sour, man. I mean, I have, oh my God. If I didn't know you and a few other men like you, I wouldn't even discuss, I wouldn't even bring up the subject matter. But when I saw this young man, and I told this friend of mine, I love this guy, he sent me that, and I said, man, I'm not that. I've never been that. I don't pray like that. I've never prayed like that. I've never prayed for people like that. Talking about I'm binding Satan off you and I'm stopping all disease, stopping. I ask before you call, can he stop the bill collector from asking for the rent to be paid? I mean, you know, this cat needs to get him a real job if he can do all that. And I'm trying to reach people and say, use some sense, some logic, or something. But when it comes to church, oh well. James, I appreciate the call. As you can see, this Christmas I'm still doing what I
keep doing your thing, John Coleman. Let's talk tomorrow.
Alright, that sounds good. God bless you. Tell the wife and girls I said hello.
Alright,
God bless. Bye bye. That's see, now that's what I'm talking about. That is a friend. That is a friend that I went to grad school with. We met each other in Talbot Theological Seminary. He was a young black preacher, and I was a little bit older, and we became friends. We shared fellowship with our churches. I disagree with James when he left. Man, he had a beautiful place in Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio. His church was right across the street from the projects. It was a CME church. Beautiful building. Seated about 1,200 to 1,500 people. And James got that church to sell it or something, and they rebuilt out in the suburbs with people that had more money. And I was pretty hard on James. I thought that he had betrayed the people and all that, but and I still feel that way sometimes. I think that if things get rough in the inner city, you should stay there. What you running for? I call it black flight, fleeing from the plight of our cities. In the 70s and 80s, the drugs came in and killed all the real men and mummified half of our women. And he's right. At least let them close the borders, and so the blacks will have a chance of getting a job. Open borders work against the people that are true citizens of the country. I don't know why we can't see that. James just said it. Seeing a lot of people ask me, why you keep doing these web? I'm trying to wake you numbskulls up. And you're numbskulls. Now listen, let's get back to the prayer thing. And you can wind this thing back and listen to that clown say all those stupid words all you want to. I'd like to quote this one to you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything. Did that man sound like he was anxious to solve all your problems, to heal all your wounds, to do all that? And then the writer, Paul, says, but in everything, not in just those things he mentioned, and he can do none of those things. This means everything that pertains to your life. How does he know anything about your life? I call myself somewhat of a prophet too when I was pastoring, but I never talked to people like that. That's insanity. And he says, you know, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. See, now what that man was doing, he wasn't petitioning God at all. He was demanding God do that in the name and in the blood of Jesus. He wasn't petitioning God. And this verse says, prayer and petition with thanksgiving. This man didn't sound like he was thankful for nothing. He was demanding that God do this for whomever he thought he was talking to. Then it says, present your request to God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did that man look like he was peaceful and satisfied? I was looking for a young man. I lost contact with him for 3 or 4 days. He was kind of anxious for his life. He thought that his life was in danger. I hadn't heard from him in about 5 days. And I just went to God and said, Lord, please watch over my boy. Please watch over that boy, please. And he texted me this morning and said he was all right. I just said, well, I'm glad. Continue to be all right, and left it alone. Didn't ask him where he is, what he doing, anything. Why? Because he's a grown man. Now, that's the only prayer that you're supposed to offer people. But what that fool was talking about, he's out of his mind. Now, look, to let you know that this kind of prayer that numbskull, and now, yeah, I'm calling him names, and if he ever hears this webcast, he can contact me personally. Stop doing that crap. You are hurting black people's lives, anybody's lives listening to that. When I was an apologist in the Christian church, I came against this mess in word, faith, doctrine. This mess has ballooned into that. And I'm going to tell you something. I did not call Pastor James Washington and tell him to call me. That's the way the true Holy Spirit, or the Holy God, works in my life. When I do a webcast, I'm sitting here in Los Angeles, California, on a Friday night. It's 2.5 hours later where he is, and he calls me out the blue, and he says exactly what I would say, because we're both seminary-trained Christian pastors. These guys that you got in front of you, they are not trained at all. They don't know what they're talking about. You need to stop giving them your money. You need to stop attending those fellowships. You need to tell them to shut the hell up. That's what you need to tell them. Listen to this. Now listen to this. Oh yeah, you want to come to PJ's website, right? You want to listen to me. You want to see what I... Hey, don't play with me. Sending me some garbage like that. Listen to what this says. It says Psalms. This is Psalms chapter 34, verses 15 through 18. Listen to this. I want you to hear it. I need to turn my lights up in the studio because, you know, I'm getting older now, and I got to look at this. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. It didn't say that he has some pastor's eyes on you and he's crying for you. It says that the eyes of the Lord are on all of his children, and he hears what they need. And then he says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That means that dude that was lying on God, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. That's from the Bible. In the book of Psalms, it says that God is going to cut off the memory of the people that misrepresent him. That is what that verse means. And then it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. That's why I told my friend, I don't need this prayer. I don't need this, because the Lord hears my cry. And then it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So you didn't need that preacher talking about he gonna bind every evil and wicked spirit. That's why I told my friend he can't do that. How he can't do that? That's impossible for him to do that. Yeah. And then the last admonition that I'm going to give you is taken from Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You see, you need to seek him while you got some common sense in your head. Call upon him while he is near. He didn't tell you to get some bootleg preacher talking trash. Now, I want to say this because, see, some of you, ooh, you a mean man. No, I am not mean. I am not mean at all. Do you know what kind of a man I am? I am a man that logically thinks through everything. Number one, that man, if you just go to the first part of this program, that man can't do any of those things he was talking about for you. He can't do it for himself. I want to thank James for calling when he did. I've been to his home. He's been to my home. As a matter of fact, if you were listening to me in March, he was a preacher that flew all the way from Ohio when I was having my open heart surgery. I said, you didn't have to come out here and be next to my bed, because he said, oh, doc, I wanted to encourage you. I said, you don't have to encourage me. I was ready to die. Ready to die right now. But you know why God left me here? I'm going to tell you why God left me here, so that I can get my behind in this studio Friday night and do this webcast and try to warn some of you people that have lost your mind following these bootleg preachers. They are liars. And when they talk like that and they don't know the Bible, now if you don't know the Bible, I would ask that you would get in touch with a man like me. There's a few of us that's still around, just a few. Like you heard Pastor James said, he said, we're living in times when what was once believed as sacred is now sacrilege. These people have no respect for anything that is. Did you hear what James said about the open borders? What he said was true. Did you hear how it applied to black lives? I mean, my gosh, I was having a conversation with a young man, and he was telling me that a black woman was telling him that black men are not worth anything because they They're not making the money. They ain't got the jobs. They can't produce anything. Why? And so why should we open our borders and let hundreds of thousands of people to come here? Because my Hispanic brothers, if you don't vet them, you don't know what you're bringing in here. It's not that they're taking jobs from us, but you don't know what you're bringing in. If common people are leaving a country where criminals have taken over, it is only decent that any president of a country protect his citizens. And that's why I said, hey, and it looks like, if you listen to the news today, because Trump didn't sign, hey, it looks like the government's going to shut down or is in the processes of shutting down. And, you know, I hope my Social Security don't shut down, because if it's shut down, I'm going to shut down. But I'm just going to tell you like it is. And I only said that because I have a few indebtments and I got to eat in order to survive, because that's what Social Security taxes are for. And so that when you get old, you can eat. You understand? I'm still on the plantation and I'm still working the plantation in this way. That's why I told you, when all that Kaepernick or whatever that quarterback's name was about not standing when the flag, Jose, can you sing? You know what? I told you that mess wasn't going to last. And now look at his stock markets and crash. And man, it's never been this low in a decade. People getting all upset and everything. Well, keep going out there spending your money this weekend. Today was Friday. A lot of you got paid. You in the malls right now spending all that money. Buying these gadgets, these useless, senseless toys. What you need to be doing, each family needs to independently have the head of that household say, you all coming in, send out. You know what I did? I used to tell the girls and Lucy when it came to Christmas time, because I bought my daughter's gifts. I'm not going to lie to you. I bought them gifts. I love my babies. I wanted them to be happy. But I told them, this is all a put-on thing here. There is no Santa Claus. The Christmas story that we've heard, it's been fooled with, tampered with, just to keep a smile on your face. I said, people died in Bethlehem when that thing went to the king, that a king was born in Israel. Well, King Herod had all the male babies killed, just like they said that happened in Moses' day when it said that he was going to be the deliverer. And look at Israel today. Look at Israel. What are they doing? Come on, let's be real with it. They're bombing the Palestinians, killing them people, taking their land. Taking their land. And wait a minute. Who's aligned with Israel and their evil? Halliburton? You know Halliburton. That was a vice president's company, huh? How many Iraqis and Arabs have they blown up and killed? I'm talking about American companies gutting people's lives for money. Let's just keep this stuff real. I'm not on the left. I'm not on the right. I'm an independent mind with very good reasons. And so if I see a bootleg preacher talking smack to me, and if I can point out the wrongs of a government, I can also point out the wrong of the church. Now, you can look at me and say, I want some wrong that I can put. You may not even like my lifestyle. I don't care what you don't like about me, as long as I'm not offensive to God. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about trying to please everybody out here. If I did that, I'd still be pastoring the church, compromising. And let me tell you something about my good friend, Pastor James Washington. He knows that because I told him I was doing a webcast and he was being recorded. And guess what he said? A true pastor can only say the truth to me, because if he come up with some wishy-washy jive time stuff, because I ask him, what are you going to say when you stand in front of those people on Sunday morning? What are you going to tell them? And did you hear what he said about that white member of his church when his grandfather came over here about the vetting process after World War I? It was like that, and World War II also. Why should it change now? Because the leftist, you see, you had a leftist president. That's what Obama was. And you don't understand that. Obama drilled it in your head for 8 years. Everything is free. Everything goes. Everything works. It ain't necessarily so. So here's where we are today. Huh. Thank you for coming to my website. She was the church secretary when I was pastoring Anselm. She contacted me, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, and she said, I was thinking about you, and I wanted to know how you were doing. And so I told her when she called me, go to my website. Now see, the reason that I said that is because if you want to know how John Coleman is doing, you're going to have to take out some time to listen to what I'm talking to you about. If you deem me as your pastor, you have to take the time and listen to the words that I'm saying. Because I'm not going to lie to you, I'm just going to tell you the truth. Now, if you're going to stay in that organization called the church, it's done. It is basically a done deal unless you have men speaking the way James and I spoke and using scripture to back it up. And not being afraid of the consequences of speaking forth. And if you speak forth true biblical Christianity, even the people that are not Christians will love you and love your message and love the way you speak. Because I would say that if that man that was talking on this thing that was sent on my phone, that if he sent that to a bunch of unchurched, educated people, they would say, is this man crazy? What, he's a pastor and he has people following him and they believe he can do that? And they would say, and these are people that are working for my company? What? See what I mean? I used to have my world religion students ask me when I showed them films of lunacy in the church. They said, do you do that in the church that you... I said, no, I'd die first. I wouldn't do that. I'd die before God would kill me. And when you tell people something like that today, they think you're the devil. Because they think they can do anything they want to do with the name of God. Of the Almighty. And you can't. You can't. You just can't. Thank you for coming to my website. And keep sending me those clips. But look at them. Look before you leap.